a Mizmor Noach. Mizmor Nun Ches. Okay, on the Zoom, we only have one picture. Mizmor Nun Ches. Mizmor Nun Ches is a continuation pretty much of the previous Mizmor to a certain degree. It's where David over here is coming to complain about Shaul. He's complaining that Shaul is trying to kill him, going back to the early part of his career as the Melech. And we're focusing on, according to some of the Farshim, specifically on Avner Ben-Ner. Who was Avner Ben-Ner? He was the general. He was the general of Shaul. Now, there are two separate stories where David came in close contact with Shaul. One was in the Ma'ora, in the cave, where David was actually hiding, and Shaul went in there to go to the Beis HaKisei. And David could have killed him, and David chose not to kill him. He told his men not to touch him. And instead, what he did was he cut the corner of his garment. And he took the corner of his garment, and then he escaped. And then from the distance, he showed, look what I have. I have here the corner of your garment. If I wanted, I could have killed you. Avner said to Shaul that it's not really true. It's not really true. And the corner of his garment, the garment Shaul, when he was walking, it must have been that a thorn ripped off the corner of his garment, and David found it. And David is making believe, look what I found. I found the corner of the garment. So Shaul basically tried to downplay or basically lie about what really happened. It wasn't that David really cut off the corner of the garment. It's that he made a whole bilbil. He convinced himself, when you don't like someone, when you have an agenda, you're able to do whatever, to go and
spin
anything. So then there was a second event where David, again, where he was sleeping, where Shaul was sleeping. He was sleeping, the whole camp was sleeping, and David went into the camp, and he took a couple of things, a container, a jug of water and some food and some flour and some oil. He went and he took a couple of things, items, and he then went out, and again the same exact thing. He showed, look what I have, I could have killed you. And again Shaul went and he said, no, it's not really what happened. I don't remember the exact details. This Mizmor is discussing the second story. The previous Mizmor was discussing the story where David went into the cave, was in the cave, and Shaul came to him and he cut off his garment. This Mizmor is discussing a very similar story where David was able to kill Shaul, and he chose not to do so, and instead he took some of his belongings and he presented the belongings to him to show him to show the belongings that he had a chance to kill him, and he did not. So we're going to see over here in a little more detail, and Mefarshim will explain it more better than I can possibly explain it. Let's start over here and run through the Psukim. We're going to try to do this a little bit quicker than the other Mizmar, because I don't really find any. It's some very hard Rashis. There are a lot of diktuk Rashis here in this Mizmar, and it doesn't, okay, let's see how it goes. Pasuk, page 504. We're on page 504. Lamatzeach al tashreis leDavid michtam. Same exact opening as the previous mizmor. For the conductor, we learned in the previous mizmor the word al tashreis either is the title, this is the title of the mizmor, or it is an expression of prayer, do not destroy. Who is the word al tashreis? Same exact discussion we had last mizmor we have over here. Either it's David. David is giving an order, an executive order. Do not destroy Shaul. Mi Omar El Mi. That's always the question you ask every time you learn the pasuk. Mi Omar Al Mi. So here it's not so simple. Either it means Al Tashres. David Omar El Anoshov. David said to his people, to his soldiers, he gave a command, do not destroy. Do not touch the Mashiach Hashem. L'David, michtam. Michtam means gold. Gold, it means a crown. It means something very special. David took enormous pride in his ability to control himself and not overreact and instruct his people not to harm the Mashiach Hashem. Nichtam again is a word, this is gold. A person has the power of restraint. Ezehu gibor hakoivesh es yitzray. This is gold. The Shaul. Shaul is called the Mashiach Hashem. Because Shaul was the first king. Shaul was the first Jewish king in Klal Yisrael. Purim is all about Shaul. Mordechai and Esther are descendants of Shaul. We're coming to the holiday of Shaul. And there's a krevetz on Purim. I don't know, not too many people say it, but during Chazaras HaShatz on Purim, there are some people in the Chazaras, you say there's a krevetz during Chazaras HaShatz that as the Shliach Tzibur, before he concludes each bracha, the Tzibur says 2-3 lines, and then the Shliach Tzibur says it. There's only one bracha that you don't say any piyut for. In the Chazaras HaShatz of Shemona Esrei, the bracha of Es Tzemach David, Avduchamir HaSatzmiach, why don't you say a krevetz for Es Tzemach David? There are two reasons. One reason is because when this krevetz was written, it used to be that the bracha of V'lushalayim Ircha and Es Tzemach David was originally one bracha. So there was no krevetz written for the bracha of Es Tzemach David because it used to be back in the day, these two brachas were combined into a single blessing. The other popular answer why there's no krevetz on the bracha of Es Tzemach David is because it's not David's holiday. Purim is the holiday of Shaul. Shaul and David don't get along. They don't get along. Shaul's trying to kill David. And David, after everything is said and done, you know, David stays away from Shaul. Purim is Ish Yimini Hoya B'Shushan Habira. Ushma Mordechai. He's from Shevet Binyamin, a descendant, both Mordechai and Esther were descendants of Shaul. It is not the holiday of David HaMelech. And therefore, to bring out that point, Bedafka, there is no piyut composed for the bracha of Es Tzemach David. It's not his holiday. We have piyut. So David over here, he praises himself. Nichtam, this mizmar is a mizmar of gold. Or some say Michtam means a crown. This is my crown. My greatest accomplishment in life is my ability to restrain myself, not to kill Shaul, even though I have all the right to do so, because he's trying to kill me, he's a roidev. Michtam, al tashches, the mi omar el mi, David omar to his soldiers, do not destroy the Mashiach Hashem. And we call the entire mizmar after those two words. It's the mizmar of Al Tashches. In fact, there are three. There is mizmar Nun Vav, mizmar Nun Zayin, and the next mizmar as well. Three different dimensions of his relationship with Shaul and his ability to restrain himself and not kill Shaul. The other approach is Al Tashches. David is davening to Hashem. Mi Omar El Mi, David Omar El Hashem. David is praying to Hashem, Hashem, please don't destroy me. Do not allow my enemies to overwhelm me and come and take my life. Al Tashches, don't let them destroy me. Lamatzech Al Tashches leDavid Nichtam. Okay, now we go to the next pasuk. Let's read a couple of psukim together and we'll come back and look at the Mefarshim. Ha Umnam, Eileim Tzedek Tidabeirun. We're going to look over here. I like the Mahalach of Shaul. Of Avner, that according to the Radak, that this Mizmar primarily is directed to Avner. Avner was an awesome Talmud Chacham. Yet, the Sipurno, I think, calls him a Rasha Gomor. The ultimate Rasha. Incredible, powerful words. You go look over here, look at the Sipurno. Sipurno on page 504, Perek Nunches. Okay, it's Mamish in the middle of the page. On the left side of the page, page 504, Sipurno, Perek Nunches, Zeh HaMizmar, Amar Neged, Doeg, Vachi Toifel, Vidomeyem, Shayu Gedoilim Batoira, Umoyim L'Rabim Dos V'din, V'im, he doesn't say the word Avner, but it's really the same exact thing, V'im Kol, V'im Zehoyu, Rishoim Gemurim. That's a powerful expression. They were incredible Talmidei Chachamim. They sat in the Rosh of the Sanhedrin, the Lishkas Hagozis, they were the spitz, they were the top of the top, and yet they were Rishoyim Gemurim. I think this Mizmar, Rabbi Cholwa, I think we'll appreciate this term, represents the concept of the weaponizing of the Sanhedrin. where the Melech takes the Sanhedrin and he uses it, he corrupts it, he corrupts it to become a weapon in his hands to eliminate his enemies. Okay, it, just like the Lahavdil Elif Alfi Avdolos, you know, remember back from high school, the government of the United States was set up by, who they call the founding fathers. Some people may call them Asar Shikudim and Ashok. Okay, but when that's not nice to say, we benefit greatly. Mm-hmm. This country, Jews have never benefited more from a country than the history of the world from the United States of America. And they established a very, very interesting system, and it's really this Moli Chochma. No kidding. The Moli Chochma, and there's tremendous bracha has come from it. I've got the terms ready. There is three branches of government, a balance of power, and each one is a check on the other. No one part of government should get too carried away with itself. There is checks and balances. There are checks and balances. If the president gets a little carried away with himself, there's a Congress. There is the courts. There is the legislative branch. There is the judicial branch. There are other branches of government which have veto power over other branches. There are checks and balances. This concept was taken from the Torah to a certain degree. In Malchus, you have the Melech. There is the Kohen Gadol, and there's Lishkas Hagozes. If you really want to study, the what is that we always talk about in Klal Yisrael, there is the Melech, and we talk about the Kohen Gadol, and there is the Lishkas Hagozes. In the Beis Hamikdash, there were three. We learned Sefer Yecheskel. The Melech has an office in the Beis Hamikdash. We learned about that in the Bayis Shlishi. There's a special chamber in the Beis Hamikdash that is basically the office of the Melech. It says that he has an office right there. And who do we associate very much with the Beis Hamikdash? This week's parasha, the Kohen Gadol. He sets the tone. But in the Beis Hamikdash, there's another branch of government. There's the Lishkas Hagozes, the Sanhedrin, who sit and judge. And to a very large degree, each one of these institutions is a check on the other two. There's there are special halachas. Asher nasi yecheta. If a melech does an avera, he brings a special carbon. Not the regular carbon of a regular individual. If the Sanhedrin paskins a halacha and people act upon the halacha that they decide, a special carbon has to be brought. You see, from the korbanos alone, the Kohen Gadol every day also brings special korbanos, the Minchas Chavitin, and the Kohen Gadol goes lefnai v'lefim yom kippurim. There are three. By even looking at the korbanos, the very fact that the Kohen Gadol does the avodah on Yom Kippurim, if the Kohen Gadol does an avera, he brings a special carbon. He brings the par shel Kohen Gadol. If the Sanhedrin does an avera, they bring their own special korbanos. The seirei, the sohir, the par and the sohir, the helim davar shel tzibur, which really in essence is a mistake that is made by the Sanhedrin. And we have the melech also, asher nasi yecheta, if the melech makes a mistake. These are three branches of government in Klal Yisrael that in to a very large degree serve as checks and balances over each other. Yeah, why am I saying that?
Who is the legislative branch?
Sanhedrin, L'chayr.
Not the king? The king can't make laws?
The laws have to be according to halacha. The laws have to follow halacha. In government, in America, the legislative branch, the legislative branch is really, they don't make, I mean, the court is not really there to make laws. They're there just to judge if something is illegal or legal. Yeah, but
the judicial branch is not the legislative branch. I get that.
I don't know. I got to think about it. You got to think. It's not the same. Obviously, it's not the same.
That's
you have to.
All right. It's a question for your
Mir Yaakov Soloveitchik. Correct. Excellent. You got to think about exactly the nature of the checks and balances in Klal Yisrael. Why am I saying that? Look at the Radak. The Radak over here says, even though we didn't translate the pasuk, but look at the Radak. The Radak right away gives you a taste of what this entire mizmah is all about. Page 505, pasuk base, ha umnam. Umnam is a very hard word to translate. It means the truth. Is it truth? So it's like a rhetorical word. Indeed. Okay, in the English art school, it translates the word umnam as indeed. In the Mefarshim, it translates emes, or maybe with an inflection of like a rhetorical. Is it true? By Balak and Bilam. Is it true? It's like a rhetorical. It's a rhetorical statement. Is it emes that elem tzedek tedaberun, now which means you become a mute from speaking the truth. I present you with the facts. You present someone with the hard facts. So admit it's true. Here is the evidence. I'm presenting the jury with ironclad smoking gun evidence that a person is guilty. What's the verdict? Innocent. What? How can a jury come out of a session and say, we declare the defendant innocent. The lawyers have presented smoking gun evidence. We have witnesses, first-hand witnesses. We have video. We have admission. Reuven, did you kill Shimon? Yes, I did. And we have 50 witnesses that saw, and they all testify that they saw Reuven pull the trigger deliberately. And we have even a videotape. We have a videotape. And Reuven himself admits, I killed him. A jury, is he guilty? They all come out. We have decided he's innocent. Reuven is innocent. Look at the color of his skin. He's innocent. He is innocent. What are you talking about? He's innocent. He killed. He pulled the trigger. Didn't you hear what we said? We said he's innocent. How corrupt could you be? Are you dealing with a situation? So over here, this is exactly what this apostle says. David says to Avner, "Ha umnam, is it true that you, Avner, after being presented with the ultimate evidence of my innocence, and instead of declaring me innocent, Elam, you've become a deaf mute. You have become silent from Tzedek Tidaberun, declaring what is correct, that I am an innocent man. And instead, what did you tell Shaul? You told Shaul that when David shows that your tzitzis, the corner of your garment, he didn't cut it off. When you were walking somewhere, your garment got caught in a thorn, and the corner of the garment was ripped off, and David happened to find it. He bought it on eBay. And now he's waving and showing, look, I could have killed you. What? That's what you told Shaul, Avner? You know it's not true. You know you were there. You know as a fact that I cut off the garment. I could have killed him. I told my men not to kill him. And you go and you spin it? You liar? Is it really true? Can you really believe this nonsense? Ha'umnam, that Elam, that you, Avner, the Gadol Hadar, the smartest man in Klal Yisrael, the one who's the Reish HaSanhedrin, that you have now become a deaf mute of Tzedek, Tida Beirun, that you become a deaf mute from being able to present and speak the truth? Omar Zeh, Radak, page 505, Omar Zeh, Kineget Avner Bener, Usha'or, the other Sore Shaul, the other prince of Shaul, the other members of his court, basically the Sanhedrin, Shahayu Shoiftim es David bidin Moired the Malchus. The DOJ was so corrupt. Okay, Shaul basically is the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice has become weaponized against the innocent because it goes against the agenda of Shaul. Shaul's agenda is, I am the king and I will be king forever and my children will be king and not David. And therefore, every part of the government that was meant to go and serve as a check
against my corruption, we're not going to let that happen. We're going to weaponize those branches of government that they should no longer be functional as checks of my power, and instead they will work in my favor to give me even more power. And that's exactly what happened to Shalshol, was somehow was swept away. He became weaponized, and he paskined that David is chayiv misa. David is a moired b'malchus. And therefore, David is chayiv misa, and therefore Shalshol encouraged Avner was the Rosh HaSanhedrin, and he paskined that David is a moired, even though the fact that Shmuel anointed him as the melech, and Shalshol made terrible mistakes by not killing Amalek, and he was removed. The Navi, the one who anointed him, said in the name of Hashem, and he's no longer the Melech, and anointed David, and Avner knew this good and well. Avner couldn't care less. He couldn't care less. Don't confuse me with the facts. He said, we're going to influence the court to paskin that David is a married Melech. Not only that, who was David married to? David was married to... was married to Tol's daughter Michal Bashal, and Michal Bashal. What did Avner do? This is how corrupt you can become. That because David is chayiv misa, because he's a murder malchus, it's ki'ilu he's already dead. So Michal is allowed to remarry. So he's allowed to remarry because she's an almana. What do you mean almana? David's walking around. This is how corrupt you can be. You can become so corrupt. The Gadol Hadar is that since David is Chayiv Misa, it's Ki'il, who he already died. Al Shem Ha'asit. Memela, his wife, is an Almana. And Memela, she's an Almana, she's allowed to remarry. And anyone that lives with her is not Chayiv Karis, not Chayiv Misa for adultery. And the children are not Mamzerim. That's what he paskened. Could you imagine someone, a Rav, today passing such a thing like that? He'll say exactly, he lost his mind. Well, when you're corrupt and you have an agenda, you can't think straight. You see this in the news all the time. You see this mamish in the news that every single day, if you follow the right news channels, if you have time to waste, you can see how different members of society have been brainwashed, and worse than brainwashed, weaponized, turned into a weapon. And the corruption is mind-boggling, and there's literally nothing you can do. Nothing you can do. Ein lanu lihishoyin el al avinu shabashem, both in America and Eretz Yisrael. And that's already good. American Eretz Yisrael already is more normal. You go look at other countries in the world, what goes on in other countries, kangaroo courts, banana republic, and just the tip of the iceberg of what goes on in this world. When you have an agenda, what? And the spear.
And he called from the other mountain, Avner, Avner, Madua Roshamata Alamelech. Why? And Avner didn't say anything.
Even Shaul admitted. Even Shaul came around at one point, at least for a few moments. And Avner didn't say anything because he was so corrupt. The corruption is beyond belief. Read over here. How umlam elam sedek to the Beirun. Omar zekeneged Avner bener ushaor sorei shol shol yushoyftim as a bedin mor b'malchus. V'hoyu oimrim, they would say, ki bedin hoyu roidev shol achav. Lahamis, Shol is permitted to go kill David. If Shaul would hold back, would give good advice to Shaul that David is not chayav misa, the Radak says, lo hoya shoyel roidev acharav. The Radak is making Avner into the main villain. He's making him mamish into the villain number one, the Elam Perusha. Now, what is it? Okay, now when I touch over the word Elam. I translate the word Ela means a deaf mute, which indeed is how most of the Mepharshim, we're going to read the Mepharshim, translate the word, you become deaf, you become a mute. And Ela means you can't hear and you can't talk. You have no knowledge. In this context, it means you're silent. You're silent from admitting the truth. But it also, many of the Mepharshim say, it means from Yosef, where it says that the sheaves were... I've got the pasuk. I'm forgetting everything lately. Mil'oim alumim. Oh, he says over here. I never see over here. It means to gather together. Elam peyush kibbutz. Oh, here. Min me'alumim alumim. Where Yosef said to his brothers, I had a dream last night. And in the dream, we were in the field and we were gathering the grain. We were making bundles of grain. We were harvesting the crop and we were making bundles. So you see the word me'alumim means to gather together. So here it says you're gathering, Omar. Kisha tiskabsu l'shpoit al mishpativi al mishpitei sh'or b'nei adam shehem as shukim kamani. I'm not the only one that's oppressed. I'm not the only political prisoner you wicked people have. Ki be'emes tedabru, ki im be'emes tedabru and tzedek v'sishbetu me'sharim. If you would really do what you're supposed to do and be honest and analyze the evidence and be honest, then loisasun ken, you would never ever advise Shaul to kill me and tell him falsely that I'm a Mordor Malchus, because you, Avner, know good and well that I'm not. So you read the Pasuk inside, the Pasuk according to the Radak of this, ha'umnam, is it not true? It's a rhetorical statement. Is it not true that Elam, that when you gather together, You have to add into the pasuk a couple of words. When you gather together as a group and you sit in court and you debate my fate, is it not true that you're corrupt and you decide against me death? If only you would speak tzedek tidaberun, then meisharim tishbitu b'nei adam, then you would judge people with uprightness. You would judge me and other people that you do not like. You would judge them with yashrus. But the problem is you don't. The truth is that when you come and get together, you gather together, you have an agenda, and this agenda it handicaps your ability to see the truth for what it is, and your verdict is corrupt, and it's a horror. There's nothing you can do. There's mamish nothing you can do when you're dealing with a justice system that is thoroughly corrupt from the core. What are you going to do? They talk a lot about this. You're following loose in Eretz Yisrael. We can talk about this in America forever. In Eretz Yisrael now, this is one of the hottest issues in Eretz Yisrael is the judicial branch of government. They're trying to have all these laws to reform the judicial branch of government in Eretz Yisrael. It is a very, very big problem. It's not just a problem in Eretz Yisrael, it's a problem all over the world. All over the world, this branch of government and every government is always meant to be a check on abuse from the executive branch of government. And when this group, this has an agenda, whether they're being bribed, or whether they just have an ideological agenda, and the system just perpetuates itself, and there's no way for there to be some type of check upon this branch of government, it's just a nightmare. And this is exactly what it says over here in this mizmar: the more things change, the more they stay the same. You have here Avner. Avner is the Rosh HaSanhedrin. According to the Radak, the Radak, Ela means when they come together, Ma'alumim Alumim, to sit in judgment, decide the fate of people that they don't like. There's no such thing as tzedek. They can take all the evidence, they can spin it, they can manipulate it, they can blatantly ignore the evidence, and they will decide a person's fate that is thoroughly corrupt. This is the way the Radak learns. The whole Mizmar, according to the Radak, is just focused solely on Avner, and as we said, the weaponization of the Sanhedrin. In America, they talk about the weaponization of the FBI, weaponizing the Justice Department. They had hearings. Okay, they had hearings. The last 2 weeks ago, they had these very elaborate hearings in the Senate. public hearings, televised, and the hearing was, the title of the hearing was the weaponization of the FBI. I mean, that's what it was all about. They go and they bring witnesses and they ask them questions. It's just a show. It doesn't mean anything. No one gets punished. There's no accountability. Zero accountability.
Expose.
What is exposed? It's nothing. Nothing. It's a waste of taxpayer money. Really? What?
Wasn't there room to say that Dublin was with the mouth? I mean, did everything with Shay Shemai. I understand that. But, I mean, there's room for that.
No, so I see, unfortunately, I haven't learned Shmuel in a very, very long time, and I'm guilty. And really, before you touch Tehillim, you have to review Shmuel about 1,000 times. I know it fluently. But from just looking through the Mefarshim over here, you get pieces that Shaul Avner knew every detail of what was going on. He knew about every one of Shmuel's moves. And Shmuel was the Navi. Shmuel was above in the hierarchy of Kedusha. Shmuel was above Avner, and Avner knew that Shmuel had taken away the Malchus from Shaul and given it to David. David was now the Mashiach Hashem, and nothing David did qualified as the Merida B'Malchus. Avner was compromised. What happened to Avner? He was compromised. There was something that went wrong with Avner.
He lost power.
Yeah, it's always that power, money, kavod, personal agenda. What happened to him?
Jealousy.
I mean, this happens every single day in this world, all over the world, all over every country. You deal with corruption. Why? Why you? What is in it for you? You can't generalize. Every situation is different. I don't know enough. Maybe one day we'll learn Shmuel, and maybe we'll be able to do a psychoanalysis of what exactly happened to Avner. What was his agenda, Avner, that he now corrupted the facts and advised Shaul to murder David? And that's Ha'umnam. Okay, according to let's see the mitzvah. The mitzvah is a much simpler translation of this pasuk. Pasuk based in the mitzvah of pasuk based the same exact idea. It's the same exact idea, but it's the different way to get there. Mitzvah is David, pasuk based ha'umnam kishabod David el ha'ma'agol. What is the ma'agol? What is the ma'agol? I don't even know what the ma'agol is. Some type of enclosure. They were surrounding him, a circle. The people surrounded him. Okay. They slept out in the field. They were in an open place, and they all were sound asleep. They were magol. They encircled him. They surrounded him to protect him. Like they interviewed, listen to the news, is that when the President of the United States went to Ukraine to show his solidarity with Ukraine, and as he was talking to Zelensky, an air siren went off. So the interview, the whole host of people interviewing to show, wow, the President of the United States, who was Moiser Nefesh, to go to Ukraine, and as he's talking to the President of Ukraine, the air siren is Sakonis Nefeshes, a bomb could have come, and who knows what could have happened to the President of the United States, Bikuach Nefesh, look at the Mesiras Nefesh of the President of the United States for Ukraine. America, wake up, support the President. So they interviewed a whole list, a whole collection of people, and they said, you know, we're in Ukraine here for the last couple of weeks. We haven't heard one ear siren in weeks. Punkt. Hashkocha Pratis Bidiyuk, when he was there, that's when the ear siren went off. Unbelievable. Then they interview people who work for the Secret Service, and they say, you know, in the Secret Service, there was an ear siren that went off. The protocol is you get the president to safety. You get him out of there. No way is there any possibility that if an ear siren is wailing, the president is exposed. It's just against every single rule, you have in the Secret Service. So what is the conclusion of all of the critics?
Maybe
this is just a total baloney, total lie, like everything else. Okay, not everyone agrees. You have to have respect for another opinion. How do you are to know? Whatever it is. So here he's in a circle. He's being protected. Shaul is in the ma'agol. there is a circle surrounding Shaul, protection. And miraculously, David enters into the inner circle and takes Shaul's spear and takes a container of water. What does it say? Look at that, he took his spear. You don't just take the king's spear. That's not possible. It's like someone takes the football. The nuclear coats. Like, you imagine Shaul's walking around with a little suitcase. The president always is accompanied by someone that has the nuclear coats. And David, look what I got here. I got a little suitcase. look what's inside. The nuclear coats. How did I get this? Shemazels. There's going to be someone going to be fired here very, very soon over here. How did I get here? The suitcase. That's what it means. Could you imagine such a story like that? Where a guy travels always with the president, holding a knapsack, holding a duffel bag, the nuclear codes. And look what I got. I got the nuclear codes. By the way, they say the whole thing is not true anymore. Only in the movies is there a guy who carries a duffel bag. Today, they've upgraded the system today. You don't need a duffel bag anymore. Incited you. Famous, there's a book by Bamberger. I know Rabbi Bamberger from Chaim and Rabbi Bamberger. You know Rabbi Bamberger? He wrote these beautiful books called Famous Jewish Speeches, Famous Jewish Places, Famous Jewish, I don't know, you're like 5-6 books. They're really beautiful, beautiful books. Famous Jewish Letters. So this belongs in the Famous Jewish Speeches. The speech that David gave to Shaul, you know, the classic, when he presented, look what I have. I have the chanis. I have your mayim, your water. What do you want from me? I could have killed you already twice. This is the second time. What do you want from me? An Avner? No. No matter what you'll do, you'll spin it. You can present someone with the facts, the cold, hard facts, the smoking gun evidence, and it's unbelievable. No, that's not, you're interpreting it wrong. Like I told you, the more things change, the more they stay the same. So David went into his inner circle, into the Magol, into the inner circle. Ug is a circle, into the inner circle. And he took his spear, and he took his water. And he went away, and from a distance he called out, he addressed Avner. Avner, what are you telling the Melech that I'm a halachic moirid b'malchus? So you're out of your mind? K'moy shner b'shmuel. Ulezeh omar, ha'umnom ne'elamtem. So Rashi, Metzudas learns a little bit easier. The word not to gather. Elam does not mean to gather, but rather it means, have you become a deaf mute? Is it not true that you've become insane? You've lost your mind? You've lost your intelligence to go and you've lost the ability to speak tzedek. You've lost your ability to be shofet b'nei adam with honesty. What are you doing leading the Sanhedrin? You don't have any moral bearing. You don't know. You don't belong in your position. Don't you realize that I'm right? You can show Shaul she'eineni oivoy. I'm not his enemy. Twice. V'loy haraktiv. Okay, and again, the Radak says basically the same thing, but instead of saying the word Elam means being a deaf mute, he says what Elam means when you get together, if only it would be that when you get together, you would speak tzedek and you would judge people with yashrus. Okay, so according to the Mitzudah, according to the Radak, the word umnam does not mean emes. It means if only it would be that when you convene to judge, you would speak words of truth and you would judge people with yashrus. If only it would be, we would be in a different world today. According to the Mitzudois, oh, right. Halavai, it should be. Like, Amen, Amen, it should endure. It should be true. If only it would be true. Amen really means emes. Amen is another word for the emes. If only it would be true that when you convene, you would speak tzedek and you would judge people with yashrus. But chaval, it's not true. You're corrupt. According to the Mitzudis David, it's similar. Is it not true that you've lost your mind? Okay, is it natural you've lost your mind? That you've become an elam? You become silent from saying the truth. You become thoroughly corrupt. Isn't that the truth? Isn't it the truth that you become, you're thoroughly corrupt? He's accusing Avner of the ultimate corruption that can possibly be in this world. Look at Rashi now. Ha umnam l'shoin emunohu. Faith. Okay, emunah. Let's see if he goes to the next Rashi. Ha'umnam el elam tzedek tidaberun. Mizmar ze omar, David said, al shabo el hamagol. The second event, the second encounter David had with Shaul. When David entered into Shaul's inner circle when he was sound asleep, and he took his spear and he took his water jug. The previous Mizmar Nun Zayin was the first encounter when David was hiding in a cave. And guess who walks in? Shaul walks into the cave to go to the Beis HaKisei. And David goes and he cuts his garment and escapes. Shaul went into the cave. It seems like Shaul went into the cave alone. Ischabdu Michubodim. Like when a person goes, I'm sure everyone here does this, when you go to the Beis HaKisei, what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Everyone here is an Orthodox Jew. Mr. Elman, you do this? When you go to the Beis HaKisei, you say, Hischabdu Michubodim. The Malachi Hashareis who are accompanying me, honor yourself. It's not proper you should come into the Beis HaKisei with me. Stand outside. Let me go into the Beis HaKisei all alone. You say that? No? Why not? You don't see the Malachim? You don't see the Malachi Hashareis accompanying you wherever you go? So basically, when Shaul came into the cave, that's exactly what he did. He told his entourage, he told his secret service, he told the Shin Bet, Hischabdu Michubodim, I have to now go into the Beis HaKisei, stand outside, wait outside. So he goes inside, and guess who's in the Beis HaKisei? David! David and his people. And David, I guess they didn't do a good job. What could be here? Oh, come on, a cave over here in middle of nowhere. David's going to be, what could be over here? He goes inside, and David could have killed him right then and there. And David, quiet, told his men, don't touch him. There were 3,000 people outside. It says in the Pasuk. There were 3,000 soldiers outside, and they were, their entourage. They're going on the highway with all their SUVs, their black SUVs, and he says, pull over, I have to go to the Beis HaKisei. Okay, and he walked, and punkt, Ashkocha Pratis. Who's in the Beis HaKisei? Who's hiding there? David. It's unbelievable Ashkocha.
Volunteered to go outside with a white
flag,
and so they asked him, anybody else with you? No, I'm alone. So he was taken prisoner and he saved his...
Wow, the other four people. What happened to him? Did he survive?
It was okay. He told the the story after that.
Oh, so he survived, Baruch Hashem. Okay. Okay, so this over here, this is so over here. So getting back in the Rashi, went to the Magal Shol Shoychev Sham V'Lokach Esachan. This is the second story. This is Mizmor story number two when he took the spear. V'yasat Sapachas V'Lach LeVekaron. He said, and after he took it, he called up from far. He woke them up. He was the alarm clock, and he told them, Haloi Saane Avner Kolemer Haloi Yesh Lucha Atal Lohichiach. Look, smoking gun evidence. I have evidence. I'm not trying to kill Shol. If I was a really murdered Malchus, I would have killed him right here now. I've already twice. And this is what he says in his song. Obviously, the tzedek which you could have spoken. Obviously, Rashi is saying the same idea that we learned from the Mitzudais David. The Mitzudais David took from Rashi, obviously, and that is the translation of the word is Elam. Elam means silence. Is it not true that you, Shaul, are deliberately holding back? You are silent from being moide al ha'emes, that I have not a merba malchus, and you are harming me. You're quiet from revealing the emes. Fine. Okay. That now let's now go further. Okay. That's the base. That possible. Just look over here. Hu umnam mloshon of emuna mloshon of emes, and it's a rhetorical statement. Is it not true? And we learned over here two translations of the word elam, and we have basically the entire backdrop to the Mizmar, the second encounter David and Shaul, and David is very proud of himself. He calls this a michtam. This is gold. On my record, I'm going to get Olam Haba for this like you can't imagine. And Olam Haza also, to be able to control myself, not to attack. And we're calling the Mizmar an Al Tashches. We'll learn now simply, Mi Omar El Mi, David Omar, to his people, don't, he said to himself also, David said to himself and he said to his people, don't touch the Mashiach Hashem. Even though I have the ability to kill, and I have the legitimacy to kill Shaul, because he's trying to kill me, no, Al Tashches, I'm not going to touch him. Nichtam, this is gold. Ezeu Gibor, HaKoivei Shes Yitzroi. I've done that here. And what's the backdrop? Story number two, when David, who, mi Omar el mi, David Omar el Avner Bener. Ha'umnam, Eileim, Tzedek, Tidaberun, Meshorim, Tishbetu, Bnei Adam, the two perush, Merashi, Mitzudos, and the Radak. Next pasuk, pasuk Gimel. Now he's going to elaborate. Now, the elaboration gets a little bit complicated, and Chazal Kedarkam, the very much enjoy taking these psukim way out of context and using it to teach you a whole collection of lessons about life and some history about this mice in Tanakh and that mice in Tanakh. In this speech that David is giving was a reflection of what happened. We're going to go and get a little bit excited over here. So af belave oilois tifalun boaretz. Hamas Yideichem Tifaleson. Okay, a lot of hard words over here. So first of all, what is the word over here is oy lois? You would right away think it means a carbon oila. No? If you're learning over here Masech the Nazir and you're learning about the oila, the chatos, the shlamim of the Nazir, oy lois. No, isn't that what it says? No, that's not what it means over here. It means over here means avla. So let it say avla. Avla is only one transgression. The plural. Everyone knows the word avla is an ovel. Ovel means a wrongdoing. Ovel, a wrongdoing. The plural of an avla is oilois. It's a very unusual, it's not such a common word, and it's a very misleading word because we usually would oila, a carbon oila, and oilois is a beloshen rabim. But here it means a wrongdoing. Look at the mitzudos tzion. Oilois miloshen avla. Okay, what's the next word now the word tifalun means pu'ula, to do. Like, no, the pe'apoal, the ayin apoal, the lama po means an action. you are commit wrongdoing in the earth. Hamas. Hamas is violence. Hamas is a very, very harsh word. It means criminal activity. Criminal activity that's not pleasant. And the word tifaleisun. Now, what does the word tifaleisun mean? Inyan yosher. It means like a scale. Let's see, inyan yosher, v'al shem ze yikore mate ha-mishkol, a scale. The mate ha-mishkol means the plate of a scale, b'shem peles. Ki miyasher ha-mishkol, you make the weight yoshar, v'chein pales ma'agal raglecha, you shall straighten, be honest in the footsteps, in your footsteps. So, as you have a scale, everyone knows the image of a scale in Rosh Hashanah, on the Pareches, or in HaKadosh, on the Sefer Torah. They always show this. They show two sides of the scale. They show two sides, and they go to a store. One side you put a weight, and on the other side you buy merchandise. You have a weight that a pound. So you take a weight that's 1 pound, you put it on one side of the scale, and then you take food, you take whatever you want to purchase, and you put it on the other side and you wait until it is flat. So pales means, it's used in many different ways, it means to weigh. To weigh, which means to analyze, to judge, to discern if it's correct. We want exactly 1 pound. So we're going to use a scale to make that measurement. So here it says, you are Rishoim. And the only type of measurements you make is crookedness. You, if something is yashar, no good. You use a scale. You use all of the instruments of justice to make sure it's corrupt. If according to the law, this is correct, oh, we have to go and make it. We have to pervert it. It's an expression. Chamas yideichem tifaleisun. Your hands are executing corruption on purpose, deliberately. You go out of your way to manipulate the data, to hide the data, to corrupt the data for your benefit, for your agenda. Mitsudois David, pasuk gimel, af belave. Not only, Avner, have you not found for me a merit and to call off this witch hunt, with kavana, with intent, with precision, with a pashup shot, kavana. You seek intent. But not just intent, kavana means with precision. With calculated precision, you pursue a witch hunt to get me, to chap me, and to destroy me, even though you know that I am 100%. Yeah?
In the previous post, I think you talked about the passive, I think it's passive, watching the remain silent in the face of this injustice being done.
Okay.
Now, it sounds like an active.
We're upping the ante. We're upping the, and we're going further. Right, right. Enochanami, very good. The first pasuk, Enochanami, you're right over there, it's more passive. Enochanami. And now we're going a higher level here. It is done with kavanah. It is done intentionally. It is done with... Okay, let's first see the mitzvahs. Before we get to the rash, let's first see the mitzvahs. Not only are you silent when you see corruption, you part of the problem. You participate and you add to the problem. Okay, let's get the words of the Mitzvah Stavit. Afalev loy soif adava shaloy li madatem zchus. Not only did you not find a merit and call off this witch hunt and tell Shaul to stop it, ela af bekavana salev with intent tifalu ha'ovel baretz, you bring about, you pursue, and you participate in this corrupt behavior, tifaleisun. Tiyashu esachomas. You make crime normal. The new normal. The new normal is to expect to get killed, to expect to be mugged, to expect to be robbed. you are making crime into something that is acceptable. It is acceptable to kill an innocent man. That's how the word tefaleset means to judge, or to miyasher, to make straight, to make correct. You are, Rashi's words are still very good. Tiyashu esachamos asher biyatchem. You legitimize this corruption. Loimar al hechamos sheyashahu. That's correct. Crime is the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to steal people's money. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to punish. Exactly. It's the right thing to kill David. David is a criminal. What do you mean? What did I do wrong? No, this, you've created a whole new norm in society, which is just astonishing. It's astonishing of how corrupt people can be. Okay, let's see over here, Rashi.
It's
plumb line, the plumb line. Right. To make sure it's yashar. Okay.
It's like
the plumb line.
A
weight. Gravity. A plumb line. Right, they use this in time. When they go, they put bricks. When they lay bricks, they go very, very high, and they put down there's a string with a weight, even today. And the weight comes out, and the bricks have to go up against the string to know that it's perfectly straight. A plumb line. Yashar.
The level.
The word peles is used in this context to mean that it's yashar, it is straight. Crime is crooked. These people are now normalizing crime. They're making what is crooked as acceptable, legitimizing it. It's ki'ilu, it's yashar. Ki'ilu, it's yashar. That's the word peles. Peles means that it's yashar. They are chamas yideichem tifaleisun. They are making chamas into normal. It's the new normal. Crime, corruption, murder, gezel. This is the way it's supposed to be. You can't survive. If you don't steal, you're not going to be able to make a parnasa. That's the way you're supposed to do things. That's the way you survive. This is what David is saying about Avner ben Ner. Now let's see Rashi learns. Af belev oyla, af belev. Now so let's read with kavana, oylois. Corruption, tif alun, you engage. You engage in corruption with intent, and you legitimize violence. Rashi, af belev oylois tif alun, loy v'loy oid ella, shebevlavchem atem chershem ra'ah. Not only what in the previous pasuk of being passive and accepting my what's happening to me and not speaking out, but you do with kavana. In your heart, you're happy, you enjoy this. Atem Harshim Ra, you plow Ra. Your mind is churning with ideas, with techniques. You're constantly thinking about a new way to get me. Lifal to achieve Ovel wrong. And now Rashi comes and explains to us the etymology of this word, Oilois. Oilois, Kimo Avolois. If it would have said in the pasuk avolois, we would have less confusion. An avla is a wrongdoing. The word oilois is just a more sophisticated form of the plural of the word of avla. If it would have said avolois, that would be closer. Avel kasher yoimar shor shivarim. Just like an axe. How do you say an axe in plural? Axin is shivarim. Umeir. What is an ear? Ear is a mule. How do you say a plural mules? Ayorim, many of them. Ushloishim ayorim lohem. It says that there were 30 ayorim lohem and shayftim. Mules who loshayin. Oh no, I made a mistake. I thought it meant over here mules. Okay, here it means over here cities. Okay, yes. Umeir ayorim. Multiple cities is ayorim. Like it says in the pasuk, Ushloishim ayorim lohem. Shu loshayin ear vikirya. A city, okay, a metropolis, a city.
The
shorish is maintained, and here we're just saying it means, okay. So Rashi is very clear, and so is the Mesudas. He wants to learn this unusual word of oilois. The vav is part of the root, and it means an avla, in plural, we would expect it to say avolim, avolois. We would expect it, but it's not a kasha. It can. It follows the rules of grammar and it means the same thing. Now we'll see in a moment. Not everyone agrees to this. Let's go first with Rashi first. Ba'aretz chamas yidechem tif aleison b'soich aretz in the earth atem machriim. You are machria, which basically have a scale. Rashi over here is learning over here, not a plumb line, but you have a, like we said before, you have a scale. You have two sides of the scale. You have a plate on the left, a plate on the right, and you have a weight. And what happens if it's not enough? So you push it. You manipulate the scale by pushing it down with your hands. So you put your thumb on the scale, you push it down to make it come out equal. V'soicha aretz atem machriim, you want to go sell a person, I want to buy a pound of coleslaw. So you put down on the scale a pound on one side, and you put some coleslaw on the other scale. And guess what? The pound is further down than the coleslaw. So you have to really add more coleslaw. I want to cheat this person. So you push.
Add a little more juice.
So you push your finger. You push down the side of the scale of the coleslaw to make it look like it's equal now to the weight. Oh, look! We have exactly a pound. You're a crook. That's exactly what David is accusing Avner of doing. You are manipulating the scales. There is Yashrus, and you are corrupting Yashrus. And that's why we use the word pelis. He says over here the Rashi, the word yidechem. You're using your hand to manipulate the scale. You're giving it more weight. Tifaleisun, you know what that word means over there? A counterweight. Okay, so you're corrupting. You outweigh the actual weight on the scale. One more time. B'soich aretz atem machriim. You're outweighing. You're pushing down. You're machriya chamas yideichem. I told you wrong. It doesn't mean you're using it with your hand. It means your violence. It appears that Rashi learns the word yideichem is together with the word chamas. It's not just violent. It's chamas yideichem. It's an expression. Your violent behavior, you are tifale sun, you're legitimizing. You're making it equal to the weight, which is basically a corruption of emes. Machriim chamas yideichem ad shehu shekel mishkol rav. It should weigh, it should have the same weight. It should have the same weight as everything else in this world. Emes is gold. No, crime is also gold. Being a ganef, a murderer, it's also acceptable in society. Tif alei sun, okay, a counter to counterweight. Now let's just get an appreciation.
Why never be gold and acceptable and good?
Oh yeah, go look at what goes on in this world. Go look what's going on in this world. When someone is corrupt, and when a person has an agenda, we spend many, many times, a person's mind is totally gone. And you can show a person hard evidence of crime. No, it's acceptable. This is perfectly fine. You don't see it happening all the time?
You don't
see it happening all the time? President of the United States can say to a group of people in front of the entire world, just because I'm white, I'm not stupid. Now think about that statement. Think about that. Just because I'm white. He basically is saying that basically the stereotype of every white person in the world is stupid.
He said it to a black audience.
So he's telling, but the whole world is watching. It's the whole world. So tell me, is that an acceptable statement? Is that an acceptable statement
for a joke?
It's not a joke. No, it's not a joke. This is not, when you do it once, it's a joke. When you do this every single day, it's not a joke. Is that an acceptable thing to say for a head of state, the leader of the free world, to say something like that? 71% of this country is white. 71% is white. Is it acceptable? What? This country, the United States of America.
It's a racist statement against the blacks.
No, it's not.
The blacks thinks that we're all stupid.
And yet, it's acceptable because you live in a society. This is the new norm. This is the new mahalik. You take something that is corrupt, and you normalize it. That's what it says. And this is just one teeny example of what goes on in the world. Okay, what goes on in the world. David over here is accusing Shaul of doing something like this. There's something called emes and sheker. Emes and sheker are defined. And when you corrupt it, you are saying, you're giving a new definition to emes. Sheker is also emes. Or you're normalizing something which is corrupt.
You say it enough times, you believe.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. You say it enough times, you come to believe it. That's right. You mean a person's mind is very, very delicate. It's very, very delicate. This mizmor is a very powerful mizmor. David over here is accusing Shaul of weaponizing the Sanhedrin. If Shaul can paskin, it says in the Bible, Shaul can paskin that his wife, Michal, is no longer in Eshes Ish, because since Shaul paskin, I'm a moired b'malchus, and the moired b'malchus is chayiv misa, so, and it's as if I already have died, so now she's mutter to marry anyone here. There's a double level. You'll see, appreciate the depth of the corruption. Number one, I'm not a moired b'malchus. And even if I was a moired b'malchus, I'm not dead yet. Wait until I die to be matter in Eishes. There's no such halacha in the Torah that if a person is chayiv misa, right away, before he dies, his wife is mutter to marry someone else. If a person's on death row, they're taking him out to be killed, and someone lives with that person's wife, the child's a mamzer, and the person's chayiv misa for Eishes Ish. So here we have a double level of corruption. Number one, you've paskin that I'm a moired b'malchus. That is sheker. That is an outright corruption of mishpat. Layer number two. Now that you've corrupted the mishpat and paskin on chayiv misa, you've gone so far to say that right now my wife is mutter to someone else because she's no longer in Eishes Ish because I'm a chayiv misa. It's kilo I died. You're going two levels deep in corruption. And if you say it enough times, you can convince someone that it's true. In order to become a member of Sanhedrin, the Chazal said you had to prove to the Sanhedrin that a sheretz is muta. You have 49, you have to prove, it says in the Gemara, you have to prove 49 reasons why it is permitted to eat sheretzim. You work for a kashrus organization, you want to work for the OU, be a mashkiach. An entrance exam to get into the OU, I want you to prove to me 49 reasons why this dish, take you to a restaurant and they're going to show you mamish tarfas, the geresta tarfas. I want you to give me 49 lumdisha reasons why it's mutter, it's kosher, we should give them certification. 49 reasons. You have to be a lamdan. And what is the halacha? Yeah, you're right. I can prove to you 49 reasons why it's kosher, but the end of the day is it's treif. It's treif, because the Torah says it's treif. David's wife an Eishes Ish? The answer is yes. She's an Eishes Ish. If someone lives with her, he's Chayiv Misa. If they have a child, it's a Mamzer. But Avner, who was the Rosh HaSanhedrin, was able to convince the whole Sanhedrin that that woman is Mutter.
If somebody's Chayiv Misa, you kill him, somebody else kills him.
What?
Somebody is chayiv misa, and somebody else just comes and shoots him.
He's chayiv misa. Yeah, because you know the halacha. But Avner was able to convince the Sanhedrin that David's wife is mutter. How did he do that? How did Avner be able to ask any child? They'll say it's totally ridiculous on many accounts. That's what happens when you corrupt. You're blinded to see the facts. You're totally blinded to see the facts. And you come up with these incredible chidushim. Then that if you, like you said, if you say it enough times, you convince yourself that this is the emes. It's very dangerous. This is the message of this mizmar. Now before we conclude, let's just take a look over here. Oh, it's very, very. Let's look over here. The word, what exactly is this word? If you look at the rid says oilois k'moy avlois. Same thing. Okay, everyone over here is coming to apologize for the grammar. Really, it should say the word af. Believe avolois, but it doesn't say avolois or af believe avla, plural avolois. It doesn't say, it says oilois. So far we have already three, but let's see. But not everyone agrees that that's what the word really means. Okay, V'olos, same idea. V'olos a tikpat spia, which also means ovel, same exact thing. But there's one in the first movie. It says, which one would you find? Who says that it means something? It means an oila. Where did I see this? One second. The oila like my avlois. I believe. Let me see. Maybe it said over here in the Sif says Zakanim. Is that where he tried to sell the Sif Zakanim? Oilois Kamoy Avalois. So Tanalama Shoya Roy looked like Ayin Beshwa. The Ayin should have been Vahainu Bechatov, Shabbos. Okay, let it reserve. Diktuk Ayin Besarateva. I remember seeing somewhere Holnum Halach in this Pasik. Let's see the Sephorna. What does he say? With all of your wisdom, af believe oilois kol chachmaschem. Heart is chachma, chachmaschem zois. Tifalu chamosim lachshev el Hashem, lachshev el Hashem toa beli sofik. Oh, I think you're right. It's Hashem. I think it means af belev oilois. No, I don't remember. We'll have to leave for another time then. Okay, tomorrow Mi'at Hashem, we're going to go further. If I can find it, I'll tell you another mahalach and what this word over here means. All right, we're going to stop over here, take a short break, and I want to learn some laws of Purim. Just some basic overview, go through the day of Purim very quickly, as much as we can accomplish.